On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the comings and goings of the football team, recap the men's game against Auburn, and preview their upcoming game against Vanderbilt, give an update on the women's team, and also preview their upcoming game against Kentucky. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 32 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And let me just give you a little background info here. I mean, I think it's been established that I typically record these podcasts at night, but I'm just feeling particularly good heading into this episode. I made myself a delicious steak dinner. I seared it, baked it in the oven after that, had a baked potato. Oh, it was delicious. And I don't know. Maybe if this sports podcast doesn't work out, I could do a cooking podcast. I don't know. Cox Cooks? I don't know. That could be a little too borderline there. But hey, it is delicious, and I am raring to go for this episode. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give the update in Carolina athletics for the past week, which truly, y'all, is really just football updates, which is great. We'll keep in touch with what those guys are doing. Then we're going to give updates and recaps of the basketball, both men's and women's. And then we're going to wrap things up. So a nice, quick, easy, light episode for y'all today. I am the strong man here after my steak dinner. And let's get to it. It is a great day to be a Gamecock, as is every day. But okay, so from the football side of things here, a couple updates for you as far as what are guys doing, roster movements, things like that. These two are no surprise. Damani Staley and Jalen Foster both have declared for the draft, but they were seniors. So this is no shock. They just made the nice little announcements and obviously wish them nothing but the best. Jalen Foster, I think it goes without saying, incredible story. We as South Carolina fans know his story. If that kid played himself into even a mid or late round pick, it is the most remarkable story we have seen out of South Carolina in a long, long time. Walk on, turned scholarship player, turned all SEC, turned all American, just incredible. And any team that gets him is going to get a guy that's going to work his ass off, and they're going to be very, very lucky to have him. So best of luck to both those guys at the next level. And then in the same vein as leaving Carolina, I guess you could say, outside linebackers coach Mike Peterson is actually leaving the program to go coach at Florida. So it was a little bit of an interesting news when I saw it break, but when you take a step back and look at it, it's, I don't know, I don't want to say understandable, but he played at Florida, he's from the state of Florida, so he's going back to his alma mater, and like, in college, there is always going to be that special connection and wanting to go back to where you played and made a name for yourself. I mean, we all love Carolina. If I could be employed by the University of South Carolina to do this podcast and leave my job right now, yeah, you bet your ass I'm going to leave. So that's just kind of what it is, right? I mean, and to take a step back at it? Yeah, whatever. So I think Peterson is a good coach. I think he's a player's coach. I think the guys really liked him. I think he was a fine recruiter. He was obviously instrumental in helping Jordan Birch come to South Carolina. But really, I don't think he was off the charts in anything. I don't think he was a particularly great developer of some of that talent. Like, yes, we've had some good guys off the edge, like JJ and Igbari, right? But that guy was a super senior, right? He naturally developed into that. He worked hard. He is going to be a high NFL draft pick. He has that extra gear to get to. But you look at someone like Jordan Birch, we haven't quite seen that development. Maybe a guy like Aaron Sterling, right? He showed flashes, but those flashes might have turned into more sustained success and sustained statistics under different tutelage. So my point with Mike Peterson leaving is, while you don't like to see turnover on your staff, you don't want that to be a regular thing. A, best of luck to you. You're going back to your alma mater. He left a nice note thanking the fans, thanking the university. Cough, cough. Still haven't gotten that from Muschamp. Cough. But Beamer has a very interesting opportunity here, and there's a lot of different possibilities here where he can sit down with Clayton White and say, hey, what do we want to do here? Because Clayton White has been the home run hire of Shane Beamer's tenure to this point, in my opinion. So Clayton White could say, all right, well, I brought in Jimmy Lindsay, who did a pretty good job on the rest of the defensive line, if you ask me. Maybe you give the edge rushers, because Mike Peterson kind of, he did the Bucks as well. So if you give Jimmy the whole line and say, all right, Coach Lindsay's going to handle the edge rushers and the defensive tackles, and then we're going to hire a more traditional just inside linebackers coach, because Clayton White is doing that, but that's not really what he has done his whole career. You could go that route. There's also very interesting possibilities from bringing in experienced coaches, but also coaches who have ties to South Carolina to be the outside linebackers coach. So it's going to be very interesting to see. And also, I brought up the recruiting and development because I think you can bring in a guy who can recruit at the same exact level of Peterson, if not a little bit higher. But you can certainly bring in a guy who, at least in theory, could develop better. And I think that is going to be the hallmark of the Shane Beamer tenure at South Carolina. Gonna get back to finding guys who are good, guys who are talented. Of course, you go and find as highly rated guys as you can get, but you need to turn them into very, very good players. And that's what Shane saw when he was at South Carolina and we had that success. So hopefully whoever we bring in, that's the motto, because if we can get a true edge rusher who can wreak havoc, if we can get Jordan Strawn and Jordan Birch to wreak havoc on either side, that would be unbelievable, and that defense can really take the next step. But so going from the opposite side of leaving Carolina, had some big, big news as far as guys who were coming back to school. So Brad Johnson, he had a nice year. I think he finally found a home at his position, so he's coming back. I just mentioned Jordan Strawn. He's coming back. Big name, big Zach Pickens, Sack Pickens. He's coming back. A lot of people thought he might have gone to the NFL. He had a nice year this year. He's a big body. He definitely has that potential to go to the NFL, but he's coming back. RJ Roderick, he's coming back. And get in the van, because Josh Van is coming back, even though I already thought he decided that, but he made it more official and had a nice Instagram post. And this is something to be proud of, y'all. When we say, oh, there's something special brewing in Carolina, like, yeah, we had a nice season. We had a hell of a bowl game. And that's optimism, reason for optimism in and of itself. But now this is that culture at work, that guys who had a legitimate possibility to go play in the NFL are deciding to come back and to hone their skills and to perfect their craft, but also to play for the team. Now, some of these guys, I'm looking at a guy like Zach Pickens. Zach Pickens, you cannot convince me otherwise that if Will Muschamp was still the coach, Zach Pickens is out the door the second he is eligible, because that's what that culture was. It was use this school as a medium to get to the NFL. Shane Beamer, of course he wants his players to be as successful as possible, and if that means going to the next level, absolutely do that. But what he has cultivated, even in just 1 year, is a culture of playing for each other, getting better together, and the way we do that is by working hard and raising our game collectively. And I think there's a lot of excitement, even within that building, of what we have going on next year. This is not just fans talking, so I think these guys want to come back, perfect their craft, and see what kind of season we can put together. See how much noise we can make in the SEC next year. So it's very exciting to see. And also, some of these guys can go from mid to late round picks, as they are right now, to mid to high picks. Zach Pickens, again, Josh Van, right? These are guys who can really elevate their stock by a really good year next year. So I'm excited. I'm pumped. And it is just a real, real testament to what Shane Beamer has already built and what is he continuing to build. So very exciting. Also, this isn't really related to any of that, but I saw a picture that Spencer Rattler, new quarterback, the GOAT. I gave him a GOAT already, right? I think I just goated him. That was not scripted. That was not planned, whatever. Future GOAT, he was on campus for new student orientation because you still got to go to school. He was a mid-year enrollee, and it was just a funny picture to see him sitting in a little plastic chair in Russell House. Guy probably walked into Russell House and everyone was staring at him. Like, could you imagine that? Like, oh, there's Einstein's bagel. Einstein's bagel's pretty good, though. Shout out. All right, so back to Carolina sports. Back to real updates here. Men's basketball, unfortunately, took the L to Auburn Tuesday night, 81-66. In the first half, y'all, Auburn was shooting freaking lights out. And I feel like this has happened to us a few times this year. It feels like we're playing the freaking Warriors, but it is what it is. But also, South Carolina, we looked lost for most of that first half. We were not getting back in transition. We were taking wild shots, not distributing the ball well, not playing great team defense, and we just looked all out of sorts. And the crowd at Colonial Life was just really little to be desired there. I know the kids were still on break and things like that. It was just not the best environment and not the best showing from the Gamecocks there. However, in the second half, we did make some defensive adjustments, made it into a zone, which really slowed down Auburn. And South Carolina, we were able to creep back in and actually brought it to single digits at one point. But it just felt like whenever we got close, whenever we had an opportunity to hit a big shot to bring it within five and really change the game, we would just miss and then give up an easy layup. And it was just, it always felt like just out of our reach. So at one hand, you know, I was encouraged by that fight and seeing the adjustment. But on the other hand, we just looked lost. We looked like a team that hadn't played together and were still trying to figure itself out, which is the case. We were full strength for the first time in a while, and it just looked like we were trying to figure out rotations and who plays who, the defense. It looked off. And Auburn, frankly, they looked like the top 10 team that they are. So those two don't combine for the most fantastic showing, I guess. But real quick, shout out to Eric Stevenson, a.k.a. Stevie. Stevie with 25 points on 5 from 8 from three-pointers. This dude was on fire. Shout out, Stevie. Keep it going, man. Now, the men's next game, they play Saturday at noon. Noon kickoff, noon tip-off at Vanderbilt. They, funny enough, Vanderbilt matches South Carolina's record of 9-4, but they're 1-0 in conference. We're obviously 0-1. Now, this is probably a little bit more fair of a litmus test to see where we are as far as conference play as opposed to Auburn. I said Auburn could be used as a measuring stick. You have the same record as Vanderbilt. Let's see what you can do. Scottie Pippen Jr. plays for Vanderbilt. I always am just blown away when I'm reminded that Scottie Pippen Jr. plays for them. And funny enough, my crow to the game is to slow down Scottie Pippen Jr. It's not a shock. He leads their team with 18 points per game. But if you want to slow down their best player, trying to make him one-dimensional, there you go. That's how you do it. And hopefully, I want to see Frank also make these defensive adjustments quicker than he did against Auburn. Once we switched into a zone, we were able to get a little momentum on our side, and we've generally seen success when we have decided to make in-game adjustments, but it's just a matter of doing it at the right time. And I felt Frank was a little slow to it, so hopefully we can get that over with. But overall, y'all, I mean, I don't really know much about anything Vanderbilt sports. And so while the Gamecocks certainly did not look good against Auburn, I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they still needed to gel. And so I think that with the break and with film and all that jazz, Frank can get the team together, make these necessary adjustments, and we can go into Vanderbilt. It'll give them a good, good test, play hard against them, and hopefully come out with that W. Now, flipping over to the women's side of things, as I'm recording this, or just now actually, they are tipping off against number 13 LSU in what is a probably very, very tough road matchup. I actually am not sure if we are full strength. I did see rumors that we might have one or two players out. I don't know if that's COVID protocols or what, but either way you slice it, very tough matchup for the ladies there. And I don't really know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. but I don't like LSU's coach. It's her first year in the SEC, if I'm not mistaken. I know she comes from Baylor. Kim something. I don't know. I just don't like her. She just doesn't seem nice. And she has given us fits when she was at Baylor. She's given the Gamecocks really tough tests. So hopefully this is a rude awakening that, hey, you came to the SEC, you came to our league, and the Gamecocks are going to give you a rude awakening. And obviously I'm not going to preview that or give my crow to the game, because by the time you're listening, that game happened. So hopefully you're like, yeah, we did give her a rude awakening and we kicked their ass. So hopefully that's where we're at. But the women's next matchup that I can preview is Sunday at 1 p.m. Nice Sunday afternoon game. Put your feet up on the couch and watch some women's basketball. We are at home against the number 21 Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky is 7-3, but I do believe they have a game in between now and Sunday. So either 8-3 or 7-4, whatever way you want to slice it. But between LSU and now Kentucky, you can already see the grind of the SEC schedule. And don't forget, y'all, that is on top of the already insane schedule that our women have already had. I don't need to go into details, but I'm just going to say Oregon, UConn, and Stanford. It's just nuts. So on one hand, I can understand that grind can get to you, and they are in college. It's not like playing in the WNBA or the NBA. Like, it's can be tough night in and night out. So if they were to drop one here and there, I could kind of understand it. But on the other hand, I would like to think that this can only help you in the long run by toughening up your game, learning weaknesses, getting better against better teams. That way, come March, we are on top of our game and ready to make the run at the big trophy, because that's the end game here. I want to win every game. I don't want to see our women drop anything, because we are the number one team in the country, and I want everyone to know it. Dawn Staley has built a freaking powerhouse. But at the end of the day, the end of March is where you want to be the last team standing. So if we have a tough showing against LSU tonight, it's tough. That's going to be tough to stomach. But if we knock them off in March, that's when it really counts. But going back to Kentucky, I really don't know much about their women's program. Kind of like Vanderbilt, I just don't know them. So I'm going to just say that my crow to the game here is stick to the basics. This year, what that means is play suffocating defense. Let Aaliyah Boston lead the attack on both ends of the floor. Let her be the All-American, probably player of the year that she is. And then you have to find the hot hand for whatever guard that is, because it seems like that it's been a rotating basis of sorts. Now, personally, I want to see Destiny Henderson lead the way, but sometimes other shooters have to step up. So hopefully you're coming home, should be a nice home crowd. Hopefully we can take care of business there by doing those things. And with that being said, y'all, that wraps up this episode. So please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please, if you can, leave your boy a review. Wherever you listen, leave your boy a review, subscribe, spread the word. I appreciate all y'all. Let's go, Cox.